From Intergovernmental Relations staff providing a verbal report regarding Senate Bill 565. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
When you're set up, would you please introduce yourself for the record and our listening audience?
Jamie Kuhn, Intergovernmental Relations for the County Board. I was asked by supervisors to run through what is now Wisconsin Act 203, which was signed into law on the 9th. And so first let me preface with I am not an attorney. my job here in regard to reporting to you on what is in the statutes is kind of an important distinction. So I'm going to go through what's been changed in the statutes. Corporation Counsel and obviously the department directors can answer questions regarding interpretation or how it might be implemented. But my purpose is to inform you about what the statutes look like now that they were changed. Obviously, if you want to ask me my opinion about what I think the intent was, I can tell you that based on conversations, but I just want to make sure that we're clear that this is a review of how the statutes have changed in the bill. And obviously, feel free to ask me questions while I go through it. Corporation Counsel has looked at this to make sure that we are correct in some of our assumptions and verbiage, so... just quickly, obviously the intent of the bill, and not speaking for the authors, but was to move to an idea of a new board in which the Milwaukee County Mental Health Board would serve as the policymaking body for mental health in Milwaukee County. It's created as a state entity until January 1st of 2015 when it transitions back to Milwaukee County as a county entity. It's yet to be determined what that actually means, but essentially the board itself is under the guise of the Department of Health and Family Services for right now until January 1st of 2015. Upon the effective date of the bill, the Milwaukee County Mental Health Board shall assume responsibilities for mental health functions. Obviously, there's some questions regarding the 60-day appointment process of the board and when they actually, which is when under the bill they would obtain jurisdiction over mental health policy. The board itself will consist of 11 members, 11 voting members and 2 non-voting members.
Ms. Kuhn, is it laid out who the non-voting members will be?
Yep, and it's coming up.
Okay, thank you.
So the requirements under the law about the board members is that they shall be among, and this is just language straight out of the statutes, that they shall be among the most qualified and experienced in their field. Obviously, there's some room for interpretation there. Collectively, they shall possess cultural competency and shall reflect the population that is serviced by the system, something that many of the folks talked about throughout the process. No member of the board may be a county employee, lobbyist, or solicit or receive contributions for political or partisan purposes while appointed to the board, or engage in political activity or seek to hold elective office while serving on the board. They can serve 2 consecutive terms. They could serve a 3rd term if one of their terms was less than 2 years. So if they get appointed midway through, or they get a staggered term right now, and it's less than 2 years, they could essentially serve 2 more terms. There is also, after they have served, if they would like to serve for 10 years, they can take a year off, and they could actually be reappointed to the board after 12 months. They can be removed by the nominating body who put forward their name for neglect of duty under the law, under the state law, as well as for failure to attend 4 meetings in a year or failure to attend two without proper notice. This is in the statutes.
And does the statute lay out who the is the nominating body? Is that the executive? Is that the board chair?
Yep, there. I'll go through who nominates them next.
Okay. I have a question before you move on to that.
Supervisor Dimitrievich.
Thank you, because I'm still sitting here. On the board members, when you're talking about who cannot be appointed, then, because I don't see it in there, I'm just assuming someone could be appointed who has a contract, a mental health contract, like a provider. Because I see who all, like, no lobbyists, no county employees, no one running for office.
Right, I don't believe that there is a provision in North Pole.
There was, but it got taken out.
I don't believe there's a provision in that. It's, they would probably have to recuse themselves.
From voting on the money their company would receive?
I don't think that that's laid out. It's not laid out in the bill, but.
Director, would you please come to the table? Please come to the table if you'd like to enlighten us.
Yeah, we're just trying to learn here.
Sure.
Introduce yourself, please. For the record.
Thank you. My name is Hector Colon, Director of the Department of Health and Human Services. It's my understanding that providers have a seat on the board, but obviously they would have to recuse themselves if there's any conflict of interest. And the conflict of interest are specifically laid out in state statutes that would apply to this board as well.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for coming.
Other questions on the general board member status? Again, I mean, I think what's important to note is that they cannot be a county employee. There was some questions early on about the restrictions that puts on having allowing people who actually understand the system to be on it. All right, so the appointment process. There's kind of two processes. One is that the governor will, the governor has the first kick at the cat here. He will appoint their provisional appointments within 60 days. So these are the ones that the county board will make. These are the ones that the county executive will make. There is a process laid out in there in regard to the Senate approving and all of those things that the members who are appointed can serve without Senate approval, which is not out of the ordinary. But the provisional appointment process is really sort of non-statutory. So again, the governor will make the initial appointments. And we shall, and those who are appointing shall submit four names for each seat. So we submit four names, the county exec submits four names, and the governor will pick one of those four names for the individual board member seats. They're staggered terms. The provisional section about the staggered terms, which is there are some that are appointed through 16, 17, and 18. There's also language in the statutes that requires there be six of the board members who are up during even-numbered terms. So that will all have to be figured out based on setting the term. So if the governor appoints individuals for the initial setup, come January 1st of 2014, the county executive will have to reappoint. If members are appointed by this body, and we would like those folks to continue to serve, you do not have to forward an additional four names for each slot. We can just state that we would like those people to continue. That clear?
I have a question.
Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just seeking clarity here. When it says the governor shall provisionally appoint, that just means for 2014 until the county executive would make appointments, or that means the governor is going to provisionally appoint people until all the suggestions come in?
My understanding is it means he will provisionally appoint until the process comes back to the county. I mean, essentially, he has appointing authority until January 1.
Okay.
And so there's there was provisional language put in just to clarify what that was going to do, and then as of January 1, the county executive will reappoint.
Okay, so the nominations that are being collected, for example, by the board now, will be appointed by the governor this year, but not next year.
Right.
Okay, exactly. I understand. Thank you.
Yep. Paul, did you? So, appointments by the county board. We have five appointments. One of them is a psychiatrist or a psychologist who specializes in behavioral health services for children. The second one is a psychiatrist or psychologist who specializes in behavioral health for adults. There's another provision that requires there not be two psychiatrists, but there may be two psychologists. So obviously that is something that the governor will have to consider. The third one is a representative of the community who is a consumer of mental health services. The fourth one is a psychiatric mental health advanced practice nurse, specializing in a full continuum of behavioral health and medical services. And the fifth one is a healthcare provider specializing in community-based recovery-oriented services. And again, if one of the selections that the county board puts forward is appointed by the governor in January of 2015, the county board does not have to forward an additional four names for those slots. They can just re-up the ones that are already serving on the board. Appointments by the county executive, individuals specializing in finance and administration with experience in healthcare operating systems, a healthcare provider specializing in substance abuse services, an individual with legal expertise specializing in emergency detention regulation requirements and policies, and a consumer or family member representing a community-based mental health service providers. There are two other voting positions. One of them is the chairperson or designee, if the chairperson of the county community programs board is a supervisor. And I believe there was a vote at CCPB the other day to forward their name because Supervisor Stamper is currently the chair. And then the chairperson or the designee from the Milwaukee Mental Health Task Force. There are two non-voting positions on the board, one healthcare provider suggested by the Medical College and one healthcare provider suggested by UW-Madison. So, under the statutes, general operation of the Milwaukee County Mental Health Board, they shall meet six times each year and may meet at other times at the call of the chair or a majority of the members. They shall elect a chairperson, vice chairperson, and secretary at the first meeting in each year. A majority of the membership of the board constitutes a quorum to do business, and unless the board adopts a more restrictive policy, essentially suggesting that the board may adopt a different policy on what constitutes a quorum or sort of their voting process. Board members can be reimbursed for expenses for their services on the board. And there is a requirement that they shall hold one public hearing in Milwaukee County as one of its required meetings. Duties of the Milwaukee County Mental Health Board. So the general duties are that they oversee the mental health programs and services, that they're primarily responsible for the well-being, treatment, and care of those in mental health services, that they allocate funding, they make final determination on mental health policy, and they facilitate delivery of services in an efficient manner with, which again is laid out in statutes, their commitment to the following things: community-based, person-centered, recovery-oriented systems, comprehensive community-based care, prioritizing community-based services over and reducing the reliance on institutional and inpatient care, protecting the personal liabilities of individuals in the least restrictive environment, providing early interventions to minimize episodes, diverting people from the corrections system, maximizing use of mobile crisis units and crisis intervention training, attempting to achieve cost savings, and cooperating and consulting with the department, the State Department, on recommendations for and establishing policies for inpatient mental health treatment facilities. Those are sort of the general duties of the board.
On the last slide, one of the points was allocate monies.
So it should be like funding.
Okay. It's I understand the meaning. I think I understand the meaning of that. But so allocate the monies. These are the monies, the funds that were laid out by the county board, by the states.
Any funds that go towards mental health services.
Okay. In Milwaukee County.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Thank you very much.
So moving on to some of the powers, and again, there are some things that show up here that are a result of updating the statutes or putting in the Milwaukee County Health Board in places that previously were the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors. So there are some things that show up here that may not be happening currently, but it still gives the new Milwaukee County Health Board the power to do these things. One of which is to establish a citizen advisory board that shall advise in the formulation of the budget. The next one is an example of something that's not currently being done, but choose by ballot the trustees that will manage every county home, infirmary, hospital, or similar institution. Shall budget annually for the operation and maintenance of each institution, including ensuring that maintenance is a segregated cash reserve. They may exercise approval or disapproval power over contracts and purchases, and any contract with a value of at least $100,000 may take effect if the board votes to approve or does not reject the contract that was signed by the county executive within 28 days. This is a passive review process, essentially. They may set the policies and powers and duties of the DHHS director or not, or the behavioral health administrator in relation to mental health services. May use the services of other county departments, such as IMSD. They could ask the comptroller's office to provide them with something. They may establish coordinated care. Oops, sorry. They may establish coordinated care for children and families. Again, it doesn't require them to do it, but they may do it. They may request information from any county departments that possess mental health information, and the county departments may not impede the Milwaukee County Mental Health Board from performing its duties or exercising its powers.
Supervisor Staskunas.
Let me ask a couple questions here before we get too far. Is there a Citizen Advisory Board, is there any sort of residency requirement that requires them to be Milwaukee County residents? And I guess I have the same question as it pertains to the mental health board itself.
On the Citizen Advisory Board, it says shall include representatives of those persons receiving services, providers of services, and citizens. Doesn't specifically say of Milwaukee County, but it does say receiving services.
Okay, so no residency requirement for the mental health board members itself. Anything on the citizen advisory panel, a residency requirement?
Is there a residency requirement? I don't think whatever.
They literally just inputted the Milwaukee County Health Board, Mental Health Board, in the statutes. But if they.
Well. I guess it did, maybe was the easy thing to do to just say whatever it is now, but whatever it is now, everything now comes through Milwaukee County elected officials. So again, I clearly recognize there's not a darn thing I can do or anything can do, but I mean, conceivably now we'll be having a system with no residents of Milwaukee County on the mental health board itself, and then the citizen advisory committee that's going to advise the board may not have any residents of our county either. So it seems sort of odd to me. Then, Jamie, a question on the box I think you have right here. May use services of other county departments, IMSD. You know, when, for example, like the internal budgets of all of our county departments, when we use IMSD services, it's basically a charge on our internal budget. Is that going to be a charge against the amount of money that they have to spend on an annual basis, or do they get, like, free services from IMSD and free services from whatever other departments that they're going to be using services from?
No, I think that they would be cross-charging.
There would be cross-charging?
And I think, okay. You know, to take it to the extreme, if the Mental Health Board thought IMSD was charging too much or IMSD didn't think it could provide the services, so the Mental Health Board could go elsewhere if it didn't like the cross-charge.
So. Okay, so they don't necessarily need to use Milwaukee County.
I don't think so.
Services of any kind. They can do what they want to do within the context of their budget.
Generally speaking, yes.
Okay.
Mr. Bargren, would you please just reintroduce yourself for the record here?
Oh, sorry.
Paul Bargren, Corporation Counsel.
Thanks, sir. Supervisor, do you have any further questions there?
No, thank you. I'll hold off on that.
Thank you, Supervisor Seskunas.
So, again, under powers, they may ask the State Secretary of Health Services to resolve any dispute with the county board regarding jurisdiction of mental health issues prior to January 1 of 2015, at which time that provision changes and any jurisdictional issues need to be approved by majority of the county board and the mental health board. They can vote to confirm the behavioral health administrator and can remove by a vote of 8 members. They can vote to confirm the transition liaison, which I'll get to, and they may establish salaries and personnel policies of the programs of the County Department of Community Programs, subject to the approval of the county exec, unless they elect not to.
Now, the top bullet point, disputes with the board, State Secretary of Health Services can resolve disputes with the county board regarding jurisdiction of mental health services prior to January 1st, 2015. After that, it's...
Correct. The language is changed after January 1 of 2015, in which case any jurisdictional issues would have to be approved by a majority of the county board and the Milwaukee County Mental Health Board.
The Mental Health Board is attached, which is a statutory term, to the State Department of Health and Human Services for the rest of this year, which means that they sort of operate through the state, but with the idea that come January 1st, everything becomes attached to Milwaukee County.
So are they detaching it just to put it back at the end of that period? Or
don't ask me why the legislature did things. I can explain to you what I read in the statutes. Jamie may know more about the history of this, but the effect is that for now it stays attached to the state, and then after the first of the year, it becomes the Milwaukee County Board. It says Milwaukee County shall create on January 1st, 2015, the Milwaukee County Mental Health Board.
And that would be something for the Finance Committee then to create?
Just happen.
Poof.
Perfect terminology. Thank you, Supervisor Alexander.
I mean, there was discussion regarding the entity issue on a number of occasions. I don't want to speak to the intent of any of the authors or folks who voted on it as to why they did what they did, but the discussion was whether there was several discussions about who should have jurisdiction for what period of time and when, and this was the result of that. The Milwaukee County Mental Health Board may also vote to confirm the County Community Programs Board, which we can get into your same question, Supervisor Saskunas. They are also responsible for the county community programs. And they can direct the DHS director as the community programs director. So essentially, the statute requires that the DHS director is also the director of the county community programs. Mental health services.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I can't hear the conversation.
Yeah. Director Colon, please come to the table if you wish to share with the committee. Please have a seat, sir.
Supervisors, it's my understanding that as the director of the Department of Health and Human Services, I am also the community programs director. And under the statutes, I would continue to report to this board on issues unrelated to mental health. The issues related to mental health would be reported to the new board.
Yep. Supervisor Roman West.
Thank you. I thought the director of community programs was Sue Gaddish.
Mr. Chair, Supervisor, under the statutes, they describe what the community programs director is, and it's the health and human services director. So Sue Gaddish is the specific community services branch director or administrator right now, but as it's defined in the statute, it's real comprehensive. It includes all of health and human services, mental health, delinquency and court services, disability services, all of those functions from a statutory perspective are described, and it's synonymous with the director of the Department of Health and Human Services.
It's what the statute says, actually. It says specifically that the county executive shall appoint the director of health and human services as the community programs director. So that's a...
It's a state mandate.
Yeah.
So at what point did Ms. Gatch then lose her position?
I don't know that she lost her position, but Mr. Colon is effective yesterday, I think. Officially the community programs director, the statutory position.
But it's nothing to do with Sue Gaddish.
It actually does have something to do with Sue Gaddish, because Sue Gaddish, up until yesterday, was the director of the community program, as was designated by the 2014 Milwaukee County budget. And so that being the case, that she no longer maintains that position, what position then does she maintain now, and what allowances are being made both in the budget and in her title to reflect that new position?
Dr. Klum.
Mr. Chair, Supervisor Romo West, I know this is a little confusing. Again,
it's not confusing, actually. It's very clear. But I think my question is still pertinent.
Please continue, Mr. Klum.
Sure. The Department of Health and Human Services in the statutes is the community programs director. That's been that way, I don't know for how long, but certainly probably decades. That has not changed in with this new bill. So it's very comprehensive, that role. It includes the comprehensive role that I have within as the director of the Department of Health and Human Services. It includes mental health. It includes disability services. It includes delinquency and court services, inpatient, outpatient, community-based. So not just community services as well. It also includes inpatient, partial hospitalization. It's very clearly defined in statute what exactly that community programs director is. And it's not just community programs. So it's the whole thing. So that Sue Gaddish continues to have her specific role as the community services program director. That doesn't change as a result of this bill.
And is that different from being the director, the head of the County Community Programs Board? She's still the director, he said?
Yes.
But now you were in charge of the board then, or that unit?
Mr. Chair, I'm not in charge of the board, but I'm in charge of the programs that relate to the Department of Health and Human Services, again, which includes mental health, delinquency and court services, disability services, housing.
Supervisor Staskunas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm confused. Maybe Supervisor Roma West isn't, but I am. So the new statute says that DHS director is designated as the community programs director. So that's now one of your hats that you wear.
Sure. If I could just respond real quick. The new statutes doesn't do that. Now it's always been.
Okay. All right. It's always been that way. And then, so then, what is Sue Gaddish's title?
Sure.
As of today?
She is the administrator for the community services branch.
Okay, so she's not the director. Was she the director yesterday? Was her title ever the director of that?
I'd say there's a difference between the statutory responsibility for those programs and then the administrative function of carrying those out. The statutory responsibility for those programs has been with the Health and Human Services Director by statute. And I guess it's safe to say that Ms. Gaddish was appointed to administer those programs for which he has the statutory authority.
Right. Okay, I get that. I mean, you're the boss, and she's carrying out directives, but is her title now Community Programs Administrator? I mean, what's her job title?
Sure. Mr. Chair, she is an administrator of the community services related to mental health. Community services related to the statutes that refer to the Department of Health and Human Services is more comprehensive than just mental health.
Do you think our ordinances need to be changed to reflect, I guess, that job title for her now?
I don't believe so, but Mr. Bargan.
Ms. Bargan?
No, I don't think
that's what her job title is currently under our ordinances?
Job function. So.
Okay.
Exciting stuff. Ms. Kuhn, please continue.
All right, on to the budget. The Milwaukee County Mental Health Board may propose budget to the county executive and shall include the total amount of the mental health budget, the community aids amount, and the tax levy in that amount. So the Mental Health Board proposes it to the county executive during the process. The board may not propose a tax levy amount that is less than $53 million and not more than $65 million. County executive can propose a different tax levy amount, but it must be in the predetermined range. The county board shall allocate tax levy proposed by the county executive, the community aids allocation, based on the previous year and all the funds proposed by the Milwaukee County Mental Health or purposed for mental health. There's also a caveat in the statutes that says that you cannot exceed the range unless the county board, a majority of the county board, the mental health board, and the county executive agree. And any funds not encumbered or expended at the end of the year are transferred into the reserve fund. These funds can be used at any time to cover deficits. Otherwise, they're not available until the reserve fund reaches $10 million.
Supervisor Staskunas.
Mr. Cologne, come on
behind. Ms. Cologne, please come back.
Do you want the comfy seat?
Sure, no.
On the budget, can you tell me, I mean, how much does Milwaukee County spend right now on the services that are sort of included here, which include mental health, the mental health budget, and I guess community aids are in that? Okay.
And I can give you some numbers.
Okay, thanks.
Bergert, please.
The way that the jurisdiction of this board was set up, among other things, was to refer to two budget units. From the adopted budget, 6,300 and they called it 8,700. It's really part of 8,000 right now. The 6300 includes basically BHD, management and support services, adult crisis services, inpatient for adult and children, inpatient at Rehab Central, inpatient at Hilltop. That budget is $77.8 million with a tax levy of $47 million and 525 FTE. The 8,700 unit that's referenced is behavioral health community services. That includes adult day treatment, AODA, including detox, outpatient, family intervention, the wraparound, both court-ordered and non-court-ordered, and mobile urgent treatment. That budget for expenditures is $99.5 million this year, $9.5 million tax levy. Total, then, in those items, as shown in the current budget, is $177.3 million in expenditures, $56.9 million in tax levy, $120.4 million in other revenues, and 625 FTE. Okay. That's my understanding of the jurisdiction of the new Mental Health Board.
Does the Mental Health Board also have jurisdiction over the non-tax levy money as well?
Sure. That money will be now going directly to them. The Mental Health Board will be signing the contracts with the state that provide the state monies that come in.
Okay. And then, as I read this, the county executive, it says, can propose a different tax levy amount, but it must be within the predetermined range. But then the next sentence says that the, you know, county board, or the second sentence says that we can exceed the range with a majority of the county board, the mental health board, and the county exec. But so that the impetus to exceed that would have to come from the board, because the statute says that the county exec has to stay within that range.
There would have to be, I think, a three-way agreement among...
Well, ultimately, right. I mean, the exec would have to sign off on it, or he could veto it, but he couldn't put, he or she couldn't put it in their budget.
Not outside the limits, right? Not outside those specified limits of 50... Yep. So... I mean, as a practical matter, you'll be presented with a budget and a levy amount, and it says you shall approve it.
And I'm sorry, I'm asking a question that is maybe outside the range, but the $121 million or thereabouts of non-levy money, where's all that money coming from? And who currently allocates where that goes right now?
Sure. Mr. Chair, Supervisor, I allocate those funds through our budget. So it's a combination of funds, state and federal. There's patient revenue funds. There's BCA and tax levy that all, and grant monies as well, that all contribute to the overall approximately about $180 million budget for the Behavioral Health Division. So all those monies, you know, obviously transfer over to the new, you know, mental health, under the Mental Health Board authority. And then within those parameters, though, on the tax levy and also the other specific parameters that are outlined in the statutes.
Thank you. Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Dimitriovich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had similar questions as Supervisor Staskunas, but then kind of wanted to flip it. So, obviously, in Milwaukee County, we're right in, I guess, beginning or middle, depending on who you ask, of a great transition to more community-based services. And one of the commitments we had early on as a policy was that the savings, as we downsize and create more opportunities within the community, is that naturally it's going to provide savings. So, I guess what I'm wondering is, like, I don't know, before that was the county board and the county executive, well, the executive through his budget and then the board through our policymaking role, but it, I don't know if we can answer this, but how would that work moving on? I mean, you know, at one point we had almost $1 million, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was 2 years ago, but I'm trying to understand, like, would that be the, I just want to make sure I have a specific question, the mental health, Milwaukee County Mental Health Task, or I'm sorry, Milwaukee County Mental Health Board that decides how those funds are reinvested, because our policy is that they should be reinvested actually in community-based services.
Right.
But I don't know if that policy carries on to this new board.
Sure.
Okay.
Mr. Klum.
Mr. Chair, Supervisor Dmitrievich, yes, I mean, it's very clear in the statutes, you know, person-centered, community-based, so we'll all certainly want to continue in that direction. I don't think the new board will not want to move in that direction. As it relates to mental health in general, it's, as you know, it's been underfunded always, and so as we move some of our individuals from long-term care, 75% of which will be covered under family care, there will be some savings there that allows us the ability to reinvest those monies to make sure we're effectively building a robust community-based mental health system. Over time, we could obviously, we believe that that's a more efficient and effective system. So over time, it is true that we may see savings eventually in the system, but I'm very cautious to say we'll realize those savings immediately, because those savings need to be reinvested to build those community-based services.
Okay, and I get that. Thank you. But then, am I understanding you that that's the health board that would decide where those savings are invested, or do they come back as general fund savings and come to the county board?
I could speak to that. No, the levy amount within that window would be the province of the mental health board. If the levy was lower, request was on the lower end of that, the capacity for greater levy would then belong to the county board. But they come up with a levy amount that they present to the board, and then that's under their control. The statute does direct that the board do, the new mental health board do a number of things, including making a commitment to, there's a long list of things, but the list includes community-based, person-centered, recovery-oriented mental health systems, maximizing comprehensive community-based services, prioritizing access to community-based services, attempting to achieve cost savings in the provision of mental health programs and services in Milwaukee County. Those are their at least aspirational statutory goals.
Okay. And my last thing, Mr. Chairman, this will probably be a quick one. I'm assuming, but I want to just make sure I have it on the record, the Milwaukee County Mental Health Board is subject to all open public meetings. The meetings, I'm assuming, will be like streamed, maybe via WSI or something.
They're explicitly subject to the open meetings requirements and open records requirements.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Supervisor Lewis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a multitude of questions regarding the budget. The first one is that I'm wondering about the constitutionality of this. It doesn't seem as if the state should be able to come in and tell a county how much tax levy that they're going to put into a specific program, even within a range. And I guess that's not the issue so much as the fact that the language in the bill says that the county board will pass the budget as presented. And so basically what I read from that is that we're a rubber stamp, and that you know, that we won't be able to make amendments to, and that for me as an elected official poses a problem, being that and obviously it's not laid out, but I mean, what if are we going to receive a line item budget? Who's going to present this budget? Will we be aware of what's in the budget? You know, part of the legislation says that committee members can be reimbursed for costs associated to associated with their service on this board. What does that mean? Am I going to be approving cell phone bills, outfits, you know, lunches? You know, what exactly am I going to be approving? And, again, the way that the language is stated makes it sound as if it doesn't matter what's included in that. I just have to vote in I just have to vote for it. So that's my first question. My second question along those same lines is the budget a policy decision? Is there policy in our budget? And if there isn't, then why wouldn't we be able to get receive a line item budget, and why wouldn't we be able to make amendments to that budget? So my second question is the budget a policy document? I think it's clear that this legislation sets in motion a state takeover. When the state came over and took over income maintenance from us, what they did was they said, hey, you guys are now going to pay X amount of dollars per year. The same thing happened with child welfare. And we're going to send you, you know, we're going to send you a bill. You're going to, you know, disseminate those dollars in your budget, and that's it. This to me is the same thing. So why should I have to approve a budget if I've been left out of the entire decision-making process and I am now going to just, you know, I've been left out of the decisions, but now I have to foot the bill. So that's my first question. Those are my first two questions. My other question has to do with liability. And so the county board has no liability over people with mental illness as of yesterday. But Milwaukee County has, and the Mental Health Board has, liability over people with mental illness. So if BHD is sued, who approves the funding for that lawsuit and for the settlement of that lawsuit? Is that the Mental Health Board, or is it the county executive, or is it the county board? Because again, if I have absolutely no say in the decision-making process, why then should I share in the liability? Why should this board have to decide and in essence correct other people's mess? My other question comes in regards to employee salaries. And so employees out at BHD, their salaries are now, according to state statutes, set by the Mental Health Board and the county executive. Yet those decisions affect the bottom line in the budget. And so again, these decisions are being made by entities that are not us, and yet it could affect our budget or the overall county budget. So I have a question in regards to employee salaries and how they affect our budget. And then the other part of that employee question is civil service rules. Because they're county, are they county employees? Because this to me doesn't seem like a county entity. Or it is a county entity, but it's not a county department. And so I think there's gray area there. So whether or not these employees, so if we as the county board approve a 2% COLA increase for county employees, BHD staff, in my opinion, under this provision, would be exempt from that. So the last question I have in regards to budget is in regards to deficits. So unfortunately, sometimes budget, you know, departments run deficit. So again, if this department now, BHD, runs a deficit, who then is responsible for that deficit? Will the state come in then and write a check for the deficit for their mental health board and decisions that it has made that has brought about that deficit? Or do the taxpayers of Milwaukee County, without representation, have to step in and write a check for that deficit? So those are my questions in regards to the budget. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Ms. Bergen got some things to chew on there.
Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, Jamie and I had kind of talked about sort of dividing up some of these questions, and I think these sort of fall into my area today. So deficit. My view, and I think the statute's pretty clear on this, the Mental Health Board will get this budgeted amount that includes the tax levy and so on, that's part of the county budget, and they have to live within that. And if they have a deficit, they have to deal with it. There's no provision for fund transfers from the county unless the county should agree to provide them. And there's no provision for state money coming in to make up a deficit. So at the end of the year, if they come up with a deficit, they'll have to figure out whether they can carry it over or, you know, do something else. But they're on their own within that budget.
Supervisor Broderick has a question on that.
Thank you. Before we move on, Mr. Broderick, could you describe for me the theory of accountability to county taxpayers, given the fact that these are unelected appointed members that are making these monetary decisions regarding the use of tax dollars? It seems to me that this sets up some interesting tension, perhaps, and I don't know what the resolution for that might be.
Well, let me get to that in the course of answering a couple of questions that Supervisor Romo West had. Employee salaries, I believe, are covered totally out of the Mental Health Board budget. If the Mental Health Board wants to join in to a blanket raise or give a different raise, that's up to them. Whatever raises are accounted for or salaries are set has to come out of their budget each year. I don't think it will affect the county's bottom line for other departments because the way that we've, you know, been able to analyze this is that those costs will all be borne for mental health employees, will all be borne, in essence, the current budget unit, $6,300 and $8,700, that will all be borne by the Mental Health Board within the budget that they're allotted. And there should not be any carryover into the county budget. If there, as to employee liability and so on, the county currently has liability for any judgment entered against an employee who is found liable for some act committed in the course of employment. That will continue. That statute didn't change. So if a mental health employee is found liable and a judgment is entered against that employee, the county becomes liable for that judgment. The county, Milwaukee County. As to issues of representation, taxation, and so on, I certainly don't have an opinion as to whether this is constitutional or not. My presumption is that legislation is constitutional unless there's somebody that says it isn't, because that's what the law tells me. But, it goes back to the notion that at bottom the county is a creature of the state, and the state can direct what counties can do and can't do. And here the state has directed that the county shall provide this tax levy. Now, is that a taxation without representation? I guess the state would say, well, we've decided somehow by an act of the legislature that this levy will be levied every year on the county taxpayers in Milwaukee and directed to mental health. Obviously, that may not be satisfactory to somebody sitting where you sit. Do I have an opinion on it? I can understand your frustration, certainly. But I think the state's legal argument on this would be that we're the state. We can tell the county essentially what to do. We're telling the county to levy this money, and it's done by an act of the legislature through the statutes. So that would be the legal framework that would support this approach.
Mr. Bergen.
I guess you had one other question about a line item budget and so on. This is supposed to be presented by the executive then as part of his county budget. So, you know, as to how the executive or the budget staff would care to present this, that would be up to them. But it would come in to you as part of the budget document.
Mr. Chairman, I'd have a question regarding the last statement. So let's, playing devil's advocate, I believe it's still on the floor. Sorry. So playing devil's advocate, what if there is a discrepancy between the mental health board and the county executive? So the mental health board, like every other department, submits their budget to the county executive, and then the county executive decides against something that the mental health board has put into the budget. They actually have then no recourse to get what their desires in the budget into the budget.
That's correct. The executive could change the levy within the window that's allotted.
Mr. Bergen, will these employees, will they still be county employees?
Yeah, you know, we've been talking a lot about that. I think they are still Milwaukee County employees, but I think they're going to be subject to different rules and regulations and even salary structures to some extent. They are covered by civil service. There's a couple of different ways that the statutes make them subject to civil service for termination. and generally civil service applies. So basic civil service rules would apply. Beyond that, I'm not sure about, you know, I don't think things like status quo and so on would apply unless the Mental Health Board wanted to apply them.
So you think status quo will apply?
No, not unless the Mental Health Board decides to apply it.
So the Mental Health Board has to decide whether or not the county status quo, which is for county employees, applies to these employees that you think are county employees?
I don't know how the status quo would be enforced against those employees. Somebody could, I suppose, bring a suit and say, I get the benefit of these status quo ordinances, and perhaps we could expect such a suit. But I don't know how the county board, for example, would enforce the status quo ordinance against those employees.
And would the county executive then have the power to change these employees' pay, say, in this period before 2015, then, if, or after that, for that matter?
It's easier to talk about after in terms of the county executive's abilities.
That's when it comes back, gets
just because
back
then
on,
it,
right?
It becomes the permanent arrangement. There are a couple different ways that salaries are set for the mental health employees, but they're through the administration, either at BHD or through the county executive, or with the approval of the Mental Health Board, but not with the consideration of the county board.
Very interesting. Okay, thank you, Supervisor Roma West. Supervisor Cullen, you have been waiting very patiently.
Well, just to sort of follow up on some of these issues, do you know of any other entity that is run like this, statewide, nationwide, where essentially we'd have a board of non-elected people, may or may not be residents of Milwaukee County, telling the Milwaukee County taxpayers that this is the amount that we're going to levy on you?
I don't know. I haven't looked at it. I'm not really aware of anybody. No,
of course,
not
aware of anybody. And so I guess my question is, and if the budget comes in a similar way as it's done in the past, I think you've opined in the past that the board still has budgetary authority. So how do we differentiate between a policy and a budget?
In this case, any other budgetary considerations, powers, abilities, policymaking functions have been superseded by the provision that says that the county board, quote, shall incorporate into the budget for Milwaukee County the tax levy amount proposed by the county executive. I'm waiting for somebody to ask me what the word shall means. I mean, it says you shall, and I guess if you don't, somebody would have to go to court and bring a mandamus action or something if they were counting on this levy.
Well, I guess that's part of my question in that, you know, in the last budget go-around, the county executive proposed a no property tax levy increase. The county board went along with a no property tax levy increase. But this board, you say right now the property tax levy is about $56.5 million. That was the number?
Seven, I think, or something.
56.5, and they could go up to 65?
Yes.
So this board could propose a $9 million property tax levy increase.
Right. They could.
And if the board says, well, we don't want to have a property tax levy increase, I mean, who's going to hold a gun to my head and make me vote yes?
I can't answer that. I mean,
levy limits.
I guess I could only say that this is apparently, it's going to be part of the budget as presented. So the levy for mental health will be in there, and the levy for other items will be in there. And I suppose at that point, among other things, the executive could decide how he wants to balance those items to come out with a certain levy target, or the board could look at other items to come out with a levy target. But the mental health levy, as presented by the executive, shall be included.
Thank you.
I'll note that the county's independently elected comptroller has been with us this entire time. And Mr. Maskey, I was wondering if you have any illumination you can shine on this, these matters of who decides what and where does the dollars go?
This is about as simple as the text.
Yeah. Scott Mansky, Milwaukee County Comptroller. My involvement in this has been mainly listening to the items and the concerns that I had with regards to the tax levy amounts that were indicated in there and the range that was there. We did some looking at the dollar amounts that were indicated and the potential impact. And some of the questions that were raised earlier, for exact, I think Chairwoman Dmitrievich brought up the fact about, you know, what happens if there's a downsizing and those types of things, what happens to the levy, what about the changes that are going to happen in the community services and those types of things as you change. You also have family care that's going to be taking over some of the services for some of the developmentally disabled people that are in some of the facilities, and what impact will that have. And I think it will be, it's kind of a, the process of where it is at now is kind of a viewing process of kind of seeing what happens with all of this and where does it all go, you know, and just seeing where the numbers are at. You know, I'm kind of concerned too from the standpoint of, you know, from a system standpoint, what are the types of systems are they going to use? And my understanding is they don't have to use our accounting systems or payroll systems. They can go and find their own systems. How do we administer the types of things? How do we pay the bills? How do we go through all of those issues? So all of those are open questions that mental health board can adopt policy on and establish policy on. And also the question that was brought up by Supervisor Roma West about the deficit and if they have a deficit, you know, what happens to that to the county. And if there are needs during the year in order to provide services, how do we get, you know, if they request more levy during the year because they need more funds, the only way, in essence, that they can get those more funds is by coming back to the county board and asking for more funds to get it. Otherwise, they have to live within their budget amount that they're provided in the individual budget. So there are a lot of things that are going to happen during the year with the dollar amounts and the needs that they may have that will provide an interesting case to it. I mean, as of right now, our intent is that they will be using our systems, financial systems, human resource systems, payroll systems, all of those types of things, and the dollar amounts through there. And my questions, you know, to Corp Counsel have been, you know, at what point does that start? You know, do we then in the next few months, once that board is in there, then all the rules start regarding the fund transfers too, of moving any money back and forth to them. They're kind of set at that point in time of where they're at and any movement of funds. So which means we have to start watching any entries that then could move back and forth between DHHS and BHD. Because part of this group is within DHHS. The 8700 is part of the DHS services, so we're going to have to be monitoring that and the entries that occur, because in essence then you've created a line between all of these things. So my view is kind of from an accounting standpoint and service standpoint of watching the numbers and where, and from the fiscal standpoint of monitoring too as to the authority that they have and where that authority kind of ends, and making sure that, you know, no authority is kind of passed, because you could move money back and forth between two entities and save some money. You had costs charged to BHD, and you could potentially move those costs to another entity, you know, if you're not watching, and therefore it changes the bottom line. So we have to be watching those things, and we have to know the date when that occurs so we can watch that. It's more than you probably wanted to know, but those are the things that interest me. So,
Supervisor Cullen, you... Okay. And let's see. Supervisor Stescus.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm really intrigued about, you know, who these people work for now. And Mr. Bargren says, I think. So there's some doubt. So, Jamie, could I ask you if you could follow up and maybe pose these questions through a friendly legislator to Ledge Council and also maybe the Reference Bureau, the drafter? I mean, who do these people work for? And you know, I'm sure we can get a legislator to pose those questions to those two groups. I'd love to see some conflicting legal opinions.
In regard to the actual employees of, I mean, we have had conversations with the state legislative council regarding this issue, and again, it seems to be the understanding that these are county employees, but that the Milwaukee County Mental Health Board has some purview over their salaries. And
is there anything? Well, again, I'd like to get something in writing.
Sure.
If there's something in writing currently, that's great. You know, I'm happy to look at that. But if not, I'd really ask somebody to pose that question, you know, to those two groups. The other question that perhaps could be posed to the Reference Bureau, the drafter, is this was kind of sold to by the media and the drafters that this merely, and sort of following up on what Supervisor Cullen asked, this merely kind of is doing to Milwaukee County how the rest of the state runs their mental health systems, which I find extremely hard to believe. But I'd be interested if we could get somebody to pose that question to LRB. You know, how did they base this model on another county in Wisconsin? You know, how do other counties in Wisconsin run their mental health systems? Because I just find it extremely hard to believe that this is the best practices around the state of Wisconsin. Just a specific question. What happens about capital construction costs? How is that decided, and how is that funded? And I didn't see anything in here.
Chairman and supervisors, there's no provision, no direct grant of authority to the Mental Health Board to bond, for example. Any capital costs would have to come out of their current operating budget. Any improvements? I've been saying that theoretically, I guess they could issue bonds, but I'm not sure who would buy them because I'm not sure, you know, what they have to back them up except this year's current tax levy. So it'd be like a one-year bond at the most. They are responsible for maintaining the buildings they use, the county buildings. The county cannot sell BHD without the Mental Health Board's approval. Scott, anything else that we've discussed? Or?
Yeah, there was just there was a maintenance fee in there that they're required to maintain of about 2% to maintain their facilities, which is like an additional reserve. But I believe the borrowing capacity, you know, kind of still remains with the county. As they said, they could go out and find borrowing, but they would then have to commit a portion of their tax levy every year to that bonding amount. Otherwise, they would have to come back to the county and ask for borrowing for capital needs.
Okay, thank you. And then this was sort of touched on a little earlier, but it wasn't really clear to me about liability and insurance. I heard the answer that if an employee does something incorrect, Milwaukee County is still responsible. I guess just what about insurance and liability in general? I mean, are we still, all of our buildings and everything, are we still insured through the mutual? Is that who would be paying out in case? I mean, let's just say we had a BHD fire, like we had a courthouse fire. I mean, they're responsible for taking care of the facility, not Milwaukee County, but yet, I mean, would the mutual be covering us, or do they get their own insurance? How would that work?
I think the Mental Health Board would have to arrange insurance. Presumably they'd do it through, you know, joining the county policy through a cross charge, but I guess if they found a different way to do it, they could do it. As Jamie just mentioned, it's important to remember that the mutual does not insure liability by employees at the mental health center and never has, at least. So we're on our own for that, regardless. So.
And we've always been on our own.
Yeah, since anybody remembers. Yeah.
Supervisor Broderick, and then
thanks, Supervisor Staskunas raised one of the concerns. I want to pursue that a little bit. The impact on the capital budget. It seems to me that a group of professionals who are intent upon improving care are going to find the facilities that they're currently charged with inadequate. My guess is in a very short time there would be a movement to build an acute care facility. And what I'm hearing is those costs would not fall on Milwaukee County, but would fall on this board in terms of their existing budget. And they'd, as you said, Scott, they'd have to account for that in their year-to-year budgeting. On the other hand, I don't see how, without an increase in that budget, they could accommodate that kind of idea and that kind of construction. So it's pretty hard to imagine how this is not going to fall on Milwaukee County taxpayers unless the state decides it's not only their jurisdictional concern, but it should be their responsibility as well. And I don't know what latitude there is there. I mean, these questions are, we're feeling our way, I'll grant you, but I just can't see how that answer is going to address what ultimately I believe will be the want to build a new hospital.
I guess I can respond. You may very well be right. I mean, that would require some change in the statutes. And I think your view is that maybe those changes would kind of be forced on people. But regardless of that, right now, the Mental Health Board would have to fund any such enterprise either out of its operating costs by buying a building overnight,
but then
by outsourcing, or by coming back to the county board and asking the county board to issue bonds to pay for a new hospital.
But underlying this is that basic question of accountability to taxpayers. You know, I don't see that accountability clearly accounted for. It's just, you know, you have an independent body of, granted, great expertise perhaps, but where's the ballot box in all of this? Where's the accountability? And if the state hasn't thought this through to that extent, then they are going to entangle themselves in a morass here, I think. That's one man's opinion.
Well, I think accountability was lost 4 and 2 years ago. But Ms. Kuhn, would you like to continue?
I have a question.
I'm sorry. Supervisor, I didn't see you there. Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you. My question is in relation to the levy limits. I'm wondering if there's this range that the Mental Health Board can fluctuate within. Let's use an extreme example and say they want to go to the top of that range right away. But the increase in their range transferred over and included, I guess, within the scope of the entire county budget would put the county outside the range of the allowable tax levy limit increases. I guess my question for council is the Milwaukee County Mental Health Board also subject to that levy limit, or would these be considered almost subset budgets where the budget controlled by the Milwaukee County Board is subject to that limit, but the Mental Health Board's budget is something exterior?
But the total county levy is subject to the limit.
The county, it's kind of my interpretation that the total county levy is subject to the limit. This is an amount that's included in the levy amount. So as a result, if the county is subject to the levy limit and they go up $3 million and the levy limit says that you can only increase by $1 million, then $2 million of cuts would have to come in other departments in order to achieve the overall state goal, because the goal was not changed of the overall county levy limit. that still is only an increase based upon the growth in new construction. That's the amount you can increase it by. And we're also, so if that growth is has been in the neighborhood of 1%, 2% in that neighborhood, and then we're subject to that growth. And therefore, if this is an insertion into the dollar amount, then other departments will have to have their levy limits cut in order to meet the overall requirement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to check my understanding. So the combination of Act 10, Act 14, and now this law means that the Mental Health Board can, with the county executive's approval, determine a tax levy amount for mental health provision that would force the Milwaukee County Board to accept a reduction in services in other areas that this board could not control or respond to in a budgetary way, correct?
You could respond to it. For example, if they're at about a $57 million tax levy right now, and if their mental health board decided to raise it up to $63 million, and then the county executive said that's too much and decided to bring it down to $60 million, you know, a $3 million increase, which he could do under his budget, that $3 million increase would come back and he could make a choice that he's going to take it from a little bit from every single department. You as the county board, while you could not change the $60 million amount for behavioral health, you could make a choice of his decision was to take it a little bit out of every department. You could make a choice to take it out of only one department or several departments, and you can change the budget in all of the other areas, but you still have to be within the total county levy limit.
I understand. Thank you for that clarification.
Thank you, Supervisor. Mr. Bargren, I would request a similar informal written opinion from your office on this subject, sir. And Mr. Mansky, if you could provide us with a similar advisory, a letter. This is something that is, I don't think, was foreseen by many, many outside these chambers perhaps, or outside your offices. But it needs further elucidation, and I request those from your offices.
On the question of the levy limit?
On the question of the levy limit?
Specifically on the levy limit, this health board's ability to impose taxation and its impact on other county departments.
Mr. Chairman, I can probably provide something on it, but I'll probably need to see Corp Counsel's interpretation first.
I don't think it'll be much different.
Yeah.
We'd like your opinions.
That's yep, and that's fine.
Thank you very much for that. We do look forward to reading that. I appreciate your interest, Mr. Mansky, in covering it. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mansky, very much. Let's get through this.
All right. So we already discussed the Citizen Advisory Committee, but just, again, to clarify, this is something that was already in statute. They just changed who the authority or the policymaking authority was in this situation. But it's important to note that it is in the statute that there is this process by which the Milwaukee County Mental Health Board shall establish a Citizen Advisory Committee. If they choose not to, there is an alternative process to choose not to essentially establish a Citizen Advisory Committee. And the goal of the Citizen Advisory Committee was to formulate and advise on the budget. So this provision is still in statute. It hasn't been removed, which means that under the law there shall either be a Citizen Advisory Committee or there shall be a report. The county executive's duties under the legislation set salaries of the superintendent of mental health institutions and the salaries of any visiting physician and necessary officers and employees of the mental health institutions. Shall nominate a behavioral health director by June 1 of 2015. There is a provision that if he or she chooses not to do that by 2015, that the Milwaukee County Mental Health Board shall do it. He also shall determine the salary, benefits, and job duties of the behavioral health director. And again, the Milwaukee County Mental Health Board will confirm that. Sorry. Shall nominate a transition liaison position with a 12-month maximum. The Milwaukee County Mental Health Board will confirm this. The county executive determines the salary, benefits, and job duties of this position. The county executive retains the right to hire and remove this position, but also retains the right to grant an extension beyond the 12 months.
Supervisor Roma-West.
I have a question in regards to these positions. And actually, I guess, a question in regards to just kind of the overall running of the Mental Health Board. How is this get paid for? So is this just being absorbed into BHD's budget? They're hiring the transitional liaison position. They'll have a new director whose benefits and salary will... How is this going to affect BHD's budget? Because the overall goal of this legislation allegedly is to improve patient care. So if we're spending all of these additional dollars hiring these people and, you know, salaries and whatnot, that is going to affect the pot that's available for services. The other part of this is that we haven't heard anything regarding the staffing of this board. So who is going to, because clearly now if we as supervisors receive phone calls from people regarding issues at BHD, we have to refer them to somebody. So that's somebody that this, you know, that this board's going to have to have. They're going to have somebody who's going to be able to post the information to Legistar, to make their meetings public, you know, to staff their meetings. They're going to need, you know, a clerk and whoever else. Who's going to do these positions, and whose budget is that coming out of? And again, if it's coming out of BHD's budget, how are they allowing for that without it affecting their? Because clearly, we didn't have this in the 2014 budget. So how is this happening without affecting their budget and without affecting the services?
On a very general basis, my understanding is that anything that any funding that is utilized for the service, mental health services or for mental health in Milwaukee County, will be under this total budget. So if there is money for a transition liaison that works on mental health issues, that will come out of the overall Milwaukee County mental health budget that the board is responsible for. I think it's unclear as to what is going to happen before the setup and during the setup, and I think the only thing that's clear is that currently, as the bill has passed, the Milwaukee County Mental Health Board is under the purview of the State Department. So I presume at some point that they will need to be involved in setting up the functioning and logistics of a board. But again, that is just a guess. But I believe anything under the purview of mental health, any expenditures that are related to mental health, are included in the mental health budget as it is.
Okay. So I guess the question is then, is BHD has additional dollars to do these, you know, to allow for these positions and to support these functions? Obviously, I mean, it's not my, you know, it doesn't affect us, like, apparently here or there, but... The other question I had is when, and I heard the answer regarding the deficits, so no provision for funds or funds transfers or any of these things, and so it would have to either be carried over or whatnot. I'm still not clear on that. So if this department, if BHD runs a deficit, then what, you know, what do we do?
Well, the county board doesn't do anything, basically.
Right. Yeah. My understanding, Mr. Bargan, was that this would be from their budget.
Right.
That would come from their lump sum, which we apparently can't do anything about.
Right.
Likewise, they could come to us then asking for help, but we don't know how the board, this board, or any future board may respond to that request.
So, as we stated before, the county exec shall appoint a community programs board, and the Milwaukee County Mental Health Board confirms that. Shall appoint and supervise the county community programs director. Again, it's in the statute already that the community programs director is the DHHS director.
So, I'm sorry.
President Roma West.
I do have a question regarding this. So is this basically saying that if this board comes in, that they can replace Director Colon? Because it says that they shall appoint and supervise the county community directors, or programs director.
Board.
The county community programs director. And that is,
Director Colon. This is under the county. The county executive appoints the community programs board. The mental health board will approve that.
Okay, but it also says in the statutes that by a vote of 8 that this board is able to replace
the BHD director.
The BHD director, who is currently Mr. Kubitschek, and that does not change under the statutes. I mean, obviously the county executive has the purview to replace Mr. Kubitschek whenever he wants to. But okay, so this position here with the county executive, the appointment and the supervision of the county community programs, how is that affected by the mental health board? Because currently, this county board is not able to advise or direct the current director of DHHS. But it looks like from the statutes that the mental health board will be able to.
They can
advise and direct. I understand that the appointment and the supervision will come from the county executive, but there also will be supervision from the mental health board.
On mental health issues to the DHHS director.
To the DHHS director slash county community program.
Yes, there's nothing in the new law that suggests that the Milwaukee County Mental Health Board could remove the director of DHHS.
Okay.
And there's nothing that suggests that they wouldn't, that they could do anything to change the county community programs director either.
Okay.
It's more of a process mandate and then process than it is for that position.
Okay.
So there's separate positions that are essentially right now the same.
The same. Does something in the statute prevent the county executive from segregating those two positions?
The statutes explicitly require the county executive to automatically appoint director of health and social services as
the county
community programs director. The statutory have the statutory title of programs director.
And I apologize. I just think that's nonsensical. But I apologize because maybe this isn't an appropriate question at this particular spot. But my question also is in regards to the role of the DHHS director, the BHD administrator, and the mental health board. It seems to me as if, and I just want clarification on this, that this board will definitely have the ability, much more so than the county board ever did, to give direct orders to the DHHS director. So in that, I guess my question is the mental health board then responsible for the day-to-day operations out at BHD?
I don't think I would say day-to-day operations. I think they certainly have strong policy directives, and the policies or the goals that they are to pursue are set out specifically by statute. Some of those I read earlier about relating to strong emphasis on community-based treatments and programs and moving to the community. their directive is to adopt the policies regarding mental health and mental health institutions, programs, and services in Milwaukee County. Adopt the policies. Mm-hmm. Make the final determination on mental health policy. That's the directive to the Mental Health Board. Okay. By statute now.
But they are able to direct the director of DHHS as well as the director, as well as the director of VHD. They are able to give them directives.
My reading is that they have more direct control over the VHD director,
okay,
who arguably is still also under the control of the Health and Human Services director. I think there's some overlap and a little confusion there. One of many areas where there's some overlap and confusion.
Okay, so the chain of command then basically, what is the chain of command in your humble opinion?
My best estimate at this point is that the Mental Health Board convenes and sets the policy. They can have the VHD director reports to the Mental Health Board. HHS director reports to the Mental Health Board. They have control, more control over the VHD director than they do over HHS director. That their policies are being carried out. So
it is your opinion that the Mental Health Board has more direct supervision over the director of BHD than the DHHS director does?
I think it's shared is the best I can get out of this. I'll say that the one thing that the drafters did was go back into Chapter 46 and change some provisions that deal with county hospitals and institutions, which my sense is those were probably passed in the 1890s or something, but they're still on the books and they still have at least literal application, and some of the powers that relate to the VHD director are now sort of renewed in there. I think it would have been better to maybe leave those out, but they didn't. They went ahead and put the Mental Health Board into that process. So the Mental Health Board is now in Chapter 46. The Mental Health Board is now in Chapter 51. And there's at least some overlap there. And I don't exactly know how it's going to all sort out. It's very, to me, it's very confusing in some respects.
Okay, so in the interim, between now and June 7th, when these appointments are supposed to be made, where is the oversight coming from? Where is the policy direction coming from?
They're operating, the day-to-day operations are with BHD and HHS, and they're operating day-to-day.
Okay. So we have an issue before us, or we were to have an issue before us in regards to, like, retention bonus in the for Health and Human Needs on Wednesday. And so that we technically are not able to, according to state statute, are not able to, to make decisions on any of that anymore.
On that particular item, you could authorize a fund transfer out of one of the HHS accounts and grant it to mental health accounts, but if you don't, they're on their own. So.
And if we don't, so then what happens? It just kind of is in limbo, or is it then the purview of the county executive to go ahead and approve that without the board? That money comes from contingency, by the
right.
way.
Right. So that
contingency and land sales.
Coming out of contingency, it would still be subject to county board approval process, 2/3 vote and so on.
And
because it's coming out, and then you're directing it to the mental health program, which you have the ability to do. But if you don't do it, then if the BHD or anybody wants to offer retention bonuses, they'd have to go to the Mental Health Board or find the money within their own budgets and do it under the new jurisdiction.
So. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Back to the slideshow. It's not the dog and pony show.
It's a long one. We talked about the community programs. Does anyone have any other questions on that?
No.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Kerr.
Okay, the Milwaukee County Mental Health Board reports. As of March 1st, 2015, and annually after that, the Milwaukee County Mental Health Board will submit a report to the County Executive, the County Board, and the State Department with a description of the funding allocations for mental health functions and services, and a description of any improvements and efficiencies in those functions, services, and programs. The Milwaukee County Mental Health Board is also required to submit a study by March 1, 2016, identifying alternate funding sources for mental health services and programs, including fee-for-service models, managed care models, and integrate mental health services into contracts with an increased offset through basic county allocation reductions and other funding models. This report is required to be sent to the county executive, the county board, and the State Department. The State Department of Health Services shall audit and report by December 1 of this year on the findings of their audits, including recommendations on inpatient mental health treatment in Milwaukee County. They can enter into a contract for this audit, but the audit shall include operational and programmatic audit of the Behavioral Health Division, of the Psychiatric Hospital, and the complex, and of any other related behavioral health programs. In addition, they shall make recommendations for the state assuming oversight responsibilities for emergency detention services and the psychiatric hospital, develop a plan for closing the mental health complex, develop a plan for state oversight of a regional facility for the delivery of services, and detail with specification on how, after a transition from county-run to a state-run, state-based Milwaukee County Mental Health Board will transition to community-based focused services. These reports shall be submitted to the Board of Milwaukee County Mental Health Board, the County Board, the County Executive, and the State Legislature. Finally, there will also be a Legislative Audit Bureau audit that will be due January 1 of 2017, and will submit a financial performance audit of the Milwaukee County Mental Health Board and all mental health functions in Milwaukee County.
Supervisor Broderick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since this new governance structure applies only to Milwaukee County, it's clear that given this differential treatment, the other 71 counties, regardless of the efficacy of their treatment outcomes, are exempt from these new structural oversights. Ms. Kuhn, has there been any notable or similar focus, to your knowledge, because you're on the ground there in Madison, on the quality of care in any of the other 71 counties in this state?
I think it's fair to say that there have been discussions
regarding what this model means for other counties. And to answer an earlier question regarding what other counties do have community board, mental health boards. On those boards, however, there are elected officials, supervisors on those boards, and none of them have the purview of actually they're involved in recommending the budget. Obviously, they don't set the budget, and the budget still goes through the county board process in all of the other counties.
I guess what I have difficulty understanding is that if these are worthy reforms, why they wouldn't be applied statewide? Rather than in this selective fashion, unless, of course, mental health definitions somehow vary with the political leanings of a patient's community of residence. It seems to me this selective treatment leaves open the possibility of that interpretation, as the state has acted in the case of Milwaukee County only. As I've said earlier, we're feeling our way here, and I'm sure this ultimately will resolve itself, but not without a great deal of stress, without a great deal of turmoil. And when we come to regard questions like the autonomous authority of an appointed board and its lack of accountability directly to taxpayers, I think we open a can of worms that's going to be hard to put a cap on. It would be my hope ultimately that the state would take fiscal responsibility for the judgments that it's made, and if it feels capable of imposing these kinds of things, they ought to at least be accountable for funding the ideas that they choose to. That way we have an accountability at the ballot box if the state takes charge of it. Other than that, what Supervisor, my dear friend Peggy has suggested is true. We're nothing more than a rubber stamp. And the people of this county did not elect us to act as a rubber stamp, but rather to represent their interests in the expenditure of their tax dollars. So this is a curious corruption of a system that I think now is really in need of reform.
Supervisor Alexander, thank you, Supervisor Broderick. Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a few more questions on this topic. I'm wondering, how do we determine at any given time, if we're reading through the county ordinances one by one from beginning to end, how do we determine which ones apply to the Milwaukee County Health Board and which do not? You know, for example, we talked about the status quo earlier. We have a living wage ordinance now. We have what I assume may be passed as an ordinance expanding gender identity equality. How do we know which ordinances apply and which do not apply to mental health going forward?
Mr. Bergen?
I don't have a good answer. I mean, I've been asked these questions a lot, and I try to look at them, and then somebody says, well, what about this? And things change. I think it's very difficult. I think you have to try to look at what the authority that has been granted to the Mental Health Board by the statute has been, and how does that explicit grant or those explicit powers, and also for the county executive, how do those compare with what the county board has tried to do in some areas, and which one trumps? And I'm trying to work on a list, a memo, and get some answers on these things, but it's not an easy question.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to tag on to your previous request for a written opinion, a request for a template explanation, if you will, from Mr. Bargren's office explaining what thought process or analysis process one has to go through in determining which ordinances apply. I'm not asking for his office to go through the ordinances and tell us which ones apply. I'm asking what is the legal process of discernment there that one would use from his office in figuring that out if he had to make those types of assessments. I'm also curious, Mr. Bargren, in reference to Act 14, which required certain intergovernmental contracts approved by the county board to also be approved by the ICC. Does that requirement also impede on the Milwaukee County Mental Health Board to also go through the ICC if they do intergovernmental contracts?
I would say it would only if they had a contract with a local government, which is the only area that the ICC applies to. There are some provisions that would allow the Mental Health Board to contract with other counties, but those would not be subject to ICC approval because ICC affects only Milwaukee County and a local government that's totally within the county.
So if I understood you correctly, because the Mental Health Board would only be a subset of the county and not the county itself, they would be generally exempted from going through the ICC for those types of contracts?
No, I think you could argue that they would have to go through the ICC if they contracted with a local government, one of the villages or cities in the city, in the county, sorry. I'll try that again. Except for the city of Milwaukee. If the Mental Health Board contracted with one of the villages or cities in Milwaukee County, other than Milwaukee City, arguably that would have to go through the ICC if it was over $300,000. If the Mental Health Board contracts with another county or another county mental health agency, from a different county or the state or somebody like that, they do not have to go through ICC.
And then in one of those cases where it would have to go to the ICC, would it also have to flow through the county board or a county board committee, or would it go straight from the mental health board to the ICC?
The contracts that the mental health board enters into are Milwaukee County contracts that they have the ability to enter into, signed by the county executive, by my office, and by the controller's office. So the answer is no, it would not need to come to the county board.
Thank you. And going back to the budget process, it sounded like the mental health board will prepare its budget, submit that as a departmental budget to the county executive, who would include that or some variation thereof in his budget to the board. Does the county board have any power to, without upsetting that budget process, remove itself essentially as a board, almost to abstain, as it were, if we disagree, if we're discontent, rather than to succumb to a statute that says we must give what's been just called a rubber stamp? Are we allowed to say, this is the between the Milwaukee County Mental Health Board and the county executive, if that's, you know, the tax levy we have to approve, so be it, but we do not include that as anything that we are putting our seal of approval on. We are stepping back. Do we have the option or the power to do that if the board wanted to?
Well, at certain levels you do. The statute says you shall incorporate the levy in your budget. IRS says you shall pay your income taxes every year. Some people don't pay their income taxes. You know, they face the penalties. So I guess, without trying to be too glib, but if the county board did not follow the directive that they shall include the levy in the county budget, somebody would have to try to enforce putting that levy in the budget somehow. It wouldn't.
Yeah. So it sounds like...
Like I said before, if the county board didn't include that levy in its budget, somebody somewhere would probably try to look at a mandamus action, go to court, and say the county board has to be ordered to do this.
In our budget processes in the past, someone correct me if I'm wrong, is it sewer PAC that's always one of those last items that's given to us? We get the many, 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 many page report and generally go through that process. Would this or could this be a similar process whereby we're only approving the tax levy result and not necessarily approving all the details therein in the attached reports and I guess the intricacies of the budget, similar to how we do with sewer PAC?
So could you cut out the budget detail and just approve the levy amount? Possibly. I hadn't really thought about that specifically, but I think the statutory requirement is shall approve the levy, and so perhaps it doesn't need to be specified in your budget any more than a levy of X.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would also request to add on to what's been previously requested in writing, since the verbal answer was possibly, I guess, expanding and getting a definitive answer on what the possibilities are there. What does possibly mean? What are our options? Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor. I think the requests are relatively reasonable.
So can just so we know what we're clear asking for, the what you're asking for from Corp Counsel is a clarification of whether or not how he would review whether or not something falls within the purview of mental health.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if the clerk was taking notes on the requests. If maybe we could just send a follow-up email later on clarifying what several of us have requested. Is that something that could, that's possible?
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to make sure that's what you were asking.
I'm under the impression that Mr. Bargan understands our requests. Require clarification. I think it'd be open if the members would be amenable to hearing from Corp Counsel.
Thank you.
Okay. Supervisor Teskos.
Well, and again, I made some early requests about, you know, Ledge Counsel and LRB, and you know, we post a lot of questions to, you know, you folks. I mean, you didn't draft the bill. and you weren't in on the discussions, and, you know, we're asking you all these questions. Why don't we, I mean, if you took notes, I really think we ought to pose these questions to the drafter. I mean, Representative Sanfilippo drafted the bill. It's got his name on it. You know, he pushed it through the legislature. I mean, let's send him a letter and ask him these questions. And, you know, if he doesn't know the answers, let's ask the Ledge Council, because they authorized or they advised him on how to draft this thing. So presumably they know the answers to these things. So while I really appreciate, you know, Mr. Bargren's legal expertise, and I genuinely do, and I'm looking forward to what you can answer, and Ms. Kuhn's input is great, you guys didn't draft the bill. So we can't expect you to know the answers to all these things. But I really feel strongly that we should ask the author. It's his bill. No, it was always really frustrating to me when I 16 years in Madison, you have people come in and sit at the table and testify in favor of their own bill, and they couldn't answer any questions, you know, because somebody handed them a template and they showed up at a hearing and said, oh, I'm all in favor of this, and then you'd ask them a question and they don't know the answer. So let's ask the drafter. It's his bill. Presumably he's going to know the answers.
Not seem unreasonable. I would like to recognize that Supervisor Weishon is in the room with us. Now, so that is the end of the presentation on that item. Thank you all for bringing through that with us. It is an important question, and so I appreciate the patience of our corp counsel and Ms. Kuhn. And before we go to item number 6, I do have a blue card here from Mr. David Eisner, 10621 West Lincoln Avenue. He is speaking for information only.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairman and Supervisors. So we have some. I have some questions, the council, on this legislation that we're either not asked during this proceeding or we're only partially answered, I feel. So there's just four of them I'd like to run by. So during the 60-day appointment period transition to the Milwaukee County Mental Health Board, we were informed yesterday that the BHD administrator does not report to the county board. Then our question is, who oversees and who is in charge? Now, I heard the day-to-day operations are, you know, Jim Kubitschek, who's the interim administrator, reporting to Hector Colon. But if we have policy disputes and the employees are known to call their county board supervisors or the chair of health and human needs with issues that they've tried to, you know, work out through those two individuals and then there's still disagreement, then I'm speculating that at that point the county executive is the one who oversees because Hector Colon reports to him. So I'm asking the chair that question then. Who oversees, where does the buck stop as far as, you know, between now and when this county mental health board, you know, comes into play and starts functioning?
Mr. Chairman?
Supervisor Collins.
Do we allow witnesses to ask questions of the committee? I'm not really familiar with the process. I mean, you can post questions. People can just ask them if they want, or you can submit them right to somebody, but I don't feel they need to put you or on the spot, or me or Mr. Bargren or whoever. If he has questions,
well, can I just ask the remaining questions and whoever can choose to answer them? So,
Mr. Eisner, I do want to hear your questions. I'm taking notes on these questions. If I don't have answers, we'll see how they can.
Okay, and we'd be happy to, you know, submit written testimony with those questions. So under Act 10, for certified unions, a wage up to the Consumer Price Index, the CPI, can be negotiated. So then does the legislation allow the county executive to circumvent or to exceed that limit? That's another question. So it was discussed about the retention bonus plan that was on the agenda for, I understand, both health and human needs and finance, personnel, and audit committee next week. But again, we were advised yesterday during BHD town hall meetings that all of those items related to BHD were withdrawn, including the retention bonus plan. So I heard in a partial response here that in theory, the retention bonus plan, I believe, can be put back on those agendas and just the funding issue discussed and voted on and then a fund transfer accomplished. So I guess we just want clarification on that. And is that all that's required? There is a retention bonus draft version that's accompanying that, I believe, that fund request that would have been on there. And based on discussion today, it sounds like that's something that could be reviewed but not altered in any way. So that's another question I have. Can that actually be put back on the agenda for both health and human needs and finance, and then, you know, at least the funding piece voted on? Also, during the 2014 budget deliberations, there was an amendment passed by the county board to require BHD to report quarterly specific data pertaining to the placement of BHD patients into community settings. We refer to it as checks and balances. So our question is, does this legislation do anything that would prevent that data from being provided to the county board in the future? Those are my questions. Thank you.
Very good questions. Thank you, Mr. Eisner. Yep. And I also have a blue card from Mr. Jeff Weber, 11219 Bridget Lane. Good morning. Almost good afternoon.
Good morning, Jeff Weber. I am with the Wisconsin Federation of Nurses and Health Professionals. I am also a BHD employee. Certainly these are uncertain times, and we do need lots of clarity given. As a BHD employee, I heard I'm still a county employee, but I also heard that perhaps some of the county ordinances don't apply to me anymore. For instance, our status quo ordinance. But as a county employee, my understanding is I need to abide by all county ordinances because that's part of the civil service rules. Also, I heard that civil service rules may or may not apply to us. So we definitely need some answers to get some clarity here. What I hope to avoid is a mass exodus of employees at BHD. There is some urgency in getting clarity to these answers. Right now, we're in a difficult pinch out there with our staffing the way it is. And certainly during these uncertain times, we're at risk of losing more employees. So I urge that we get some clarity as quickly as possible. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Weber. All right. That was an exciting item number 5. And Madam Clerk, would you please read item 6?